Welcome to my cozy crypt.
Welcome to the Crypt Keeper's Coffin, a Tales from the Crypt retrospective brought to you by Bat and Spider. Episode 21.
One of these days.
Mute witness to murder. I got a little Irish there at the end there with the title.
There you go. Chuck, I just got off vacation. All right. If you think for 1 second that I'm going to try a Crypt Keeper's laugh.
Yeah.
I'm still in vacation mode, frankly.
No. Listeners, I can see Dale right now, and he's got a Hawaiian shirt on. I can't see his feet, but I guarantee there's flip-flops on it and there's sand between those toes. I see a bunch of Coronas and Bud Lights behind him on the shelf. And I can just smell the sea salt air on him and like the coconut butter lotion and the sunscreen smells, you know?
The sun bum, they call the...
Solar cane. They still sell solar cane?
I think they do sell solar cane for the severe cases of, you know, if you're camping down the weekend at Big Timber Lake and your mom and stepdad take you to Wildwood for the day, ooh, you get badly sunburnt and you come back to the campground, you need some solar cane, my friend, to even rest easy that night.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Sleeping in a hot tent.
You're not going to get a lick of sleep. I'll tell you what.
No. I mean, it's bad enough you're sweating to death in your outside of your sleeping bag.
Ugh.
In the 95-degree tent.
Ugh.
Midnight.
Ugh.
2 a.m. and it's 90 degrees inside that tent.
One time I got sunburned at the beach and my girlfriend, like this is my high school girl, she gave me some lotion or something that I had put on my back and I had an allergic reaction or something that night. So like my back was burnt and but it was just like, I was in panic mode, like fight or flight. And like, I was like putting my back up against like the sliding glass door. Cause that was cold. And I was like panicking. Like I was freaking out cause it was so itchy and hot. And like the only way I tried like frozen peas in my back and then I was like, the fucking shower. I ran in the shower and just ran cold water on myself. And I was just I just live here now. I can't get out of the shower. This itch is ungodly.
Yeah. Chuck, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, that's,
see,
all been there.
See what I did? I took your great vacation memories and made it about vacation I took 20 years ago or whenever.
You know who else would do that?
Who? The Crypt Keeper.
That's who. The Crypt Keeper loves torture, loves pain, loves misery, doesn't like people to be happy, doesn't like sliding glass doors, doesn't like cold showers for people who suffer. And that's where we find ourselves tonight.
Yes.
Saturday evening.
The spirits are out. The HBO glow is on. Oh, yeah. Geez. We got to talk about this episode, Dale. This is Mute Witness to Murder. Did you watch it?
Chuck, I did watch it. Yep. As promised. One John Boy Walton in this episode, Chuck.
Is that Dr. Trask?
Dr. Trask. I mean, I looked at his IMDb. This dude is still working steady. This dude has been working since like the late 60s steady.
Wow. Wait, he was really a Walton, Dr. Trask?
He is John Boy.
Holy crap.
Himself, Walton.
Wow.
So for those who know,
he's got a punchable face. That's what I know. In my opinion.
After doing this episode, doing no favors for that face.
No. Punch that face. But yeah, uh-huh. I recognize this guy.
He was in other things too, but most recognizably is John Boy Walton. And wow. Even if you've never seen an episode of The Waltons, you've probably said goodnight, John Boy, at least once in your life.
Yeah.
Dear listener. Yeah, what we have is Paul and Susie celebrating very of the time of year, a costume party anniversary celebration. And Susie, the wife, just can't stop talking about her love for her husband, and they love each other. They're canoodling, they're all in each other's faces and necks, and the last two partygoers leave. They're sick of the hanging on. They're sick of they just can't stop pawing at each other, these two. It's like, get in your car and get behind the local bowling alley. That's the kind of, you know, that's yeah. the kind of shit they've been up to. You know, get back there where nobody else can see. And luckily, hopefully a cop doesn't drive back there. That's your biggest fear when you're behind the bowling alley.
God.
And Paul, the husband, he goes inside to, you know, freshen up, get the anniversary gifts to bring back on the balcony. And from the balcony, the wife, Susie, sees a couple across the street, across the courtyard in their window, rear window style. And yeah. he sees this couple bickering and fighting. And the wife across the courtyard is just in this person's face big time. Like, I don't know, emasculating him big time.
Was she wearing a wedding dress?
It looked like night one. If it wasn't a wedding dress, it was.
Yeah.
It was before Labor Day because she was wearing white for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, I don't know what the words are to describe a wedding dress, but all the frilliness, whatever that's called, like doilies. But yeah, anyway, yes. Yeah. But these two are going at it, and man, the man just can't take it anymore. What's he do? He knocks her over the head with a vase or something in the house, a lamp.
A lamp, a 1990 yeah. of the time Beetlejuice from the living room of Beetlejuice lamp.
But this doesn't take her out, Dale.
No.
She gets back up.
She just said, she gets back up and is like, well, this is it. I'm going to sue you.
Yeah.
We're over now. We're officially over.
Face full
She's
of blood.
She's got blood all over yeah. her face. Yeah.
Still giving it to
something
him.
Something else.
Not like, oh my God, this guy's about to kill me. I should probably get out of here. No, she wants to make sure that he knows she's pissed. He finishes the job with was it his bare hands or with a wire or something?
It's with, yeah, it's like mini blinds, wire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty thick cord is what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a lovely little story that our witness to murder watches, newlywed couple
right.
ending in murder. And she's so horrified that she can't speak, Dale.
She is rendered speechless.
Like a psychosis of some sort.
What happened? Talk to me, sweetheart. Oh. It's all right. It's all right. Just take a deep breath.
Yeah, and the husband's like, the husband, 2 seconds after triaging this, I'll run and get the doctor.
Dale.
What?
This is 1990. Do people run, like, we've established the 911 as a thing. Like, everybody knows about it. That's what you do when you need medical attention, right?
It's a major show, Rescue 911, at this point.
That's true, yeah. But this husband, he goes, no. I was brought up in old-timey movies. I'm going to basically yell, is there a doctor in my apartment building? So he somehow goes and yeah. finds a doctor living in the apartment building.
Yeah. This is Nuns Island, Montreal.
Yeah. yeah.
In 1975. Shivers.
Yeah. God, who's the doctor, Dale? Tell me.
The doctor one Dr. John Boy Walton himself, Dr. Trask.
Dr. Trask.
Comes in pretty quickly. He's triaging her. She's speechless. He's going to have to move her.
Yeah.
He can't do much work there. But pretty quickly, while in the apartment, he realizes what she saw and why she's speechless.
Yeah, I mean, we should make it clear that this is the guy that she just witnessed kill his wife, the doctor.
Yeah.
In case that's not clear.
Oh, yeah. Right. I did not say that in the beginning that John Boy killed his wife.
Yeah.
But yes, it is the one and the same. So yeah. Susie, the wife, is infinitely more freaked out.
Yeah.
But she can't speak. I mean, and it's a bad way. Mm-hmm. There's probably a real medical name for what just is happening in this Tales from the Crypt episode.
Yeah, and I can only imagine it also rendered her her handwriting skills useless as well. Right?
Right. At least, what was her name in Halloween 4 and 5? Our little Danielle Harris. Uh-huh. At least she could draw the Doberman that was in trouble. You know, with the chalkboard.
Yeah. But not here.
Not Susie.
No chalkboards, no notepads, no... No post-it notes, no while you were out, nothing.
Yeah. Pretty crummy situation. So he doesn't take her to the hospital. He takes her to his mental hospital that he is director of.
Oh, God.
It's staffed by exactly one doctor, one nurse, and one orderly.
Yeah. What's up with this place?
So this is, like hardcore, classic Tales from the Crypt, closed cast. There's nobody in this cast, and the sets are real small and intimate, which, you know what, I dig. Mm-hmm. It's enough to tell a story, and it tells a spooky enough story. You just need the main players. You can't question hospital administration or patient care managers. You don't have time to question that kind of stuff in a Tales from the Crypt episode.
Yeah, no.
Right?
It didn't bug me. I was super satisfied with the sets. But we could talk about the cell she's in. It's like classic padded room, like giant padded room.
Yeah, it is real deal.
Yeah.
Padding. She's in a straitjacket for most of her affair. The doctor knows why she's in there, but he's got to keep her quiet. And he's got to keep her away from the husband. And luckily, as much convincing as the doctor tries to do for the husband, he's like, she might come out of it tomorrow. She might take years to come out of it.
Yeah.
And luckily, in enough scenes, the husband's not ever buying it. Luckily. Like, he's keeping the full court press on. At one point, the husband's sister's like, maybe you should check out this doctor. You know, maybe it's time for a second opinion, at least they brought that. They approached that subject.
Yeah. I was a little mad at the husband because I did feel he was being a little bit of a pushover. But, you know, that's a tough line sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with a doctor. You know, doctors are, they're vetted. They spent 10,000 years in school to be who they are, you know, so it's like you want to trust these guys. But, But, I mean, not when they look like this guy. He looks like Dracula, like Dracula's son. That's what he looked like.
Yeah, it's startling. I mean, it was a startling look, and
I feel like if I ran to get this doctor,
didn't look trustworthy
for my wife in the apartment building, and he answered the door with that look, like I would just like, never mind. I'm gonna go call William Shatner, Rescue 911. Did he host Rescue 911? Dale,
oh my god!
Tell me that.
I don't want to let you down, Chuck, but I don't think you did.
What he hosted one of those, didn't he? Some sort of mystery.
I think you're right.
I don't know. Whatever.
He has hosted like Shatner's. I was looking it up close after looking up Star Trek: The Motion Picture.
Yeah.
For our boys over at 70mm, he hosted something like that. Yes.
I just watched this SNL skit came up in my algorithm on YouTube, and it was late 80s SNL. Shatner was the host, and the whole setup was that the, I guess, the Starfleet's on hard times, so they sold the Enterprise to like a private investor and they turned it into a restaurant. So Kirk is like, he's like the head host at this, at a restaurant inside the Enterprise. They used to deal with all these customers that are complaining about their, their like space themed sandwiches and stuff. It's pretty great.
That's great. He probably hated every second of it, but that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Nealon as Spock and Dana Carvey comes out as Khan. He keeps saying, Kirk, Kirk. And and Khan is the, he's the health inspector. So he's like, he's giving Shatner like a super hard time. okay. Man. Oh yeah. This evil doctor. He's got this poor lady locked up and the husband's like, God damn it. How does my wife go insane in 5 minutes? I left the room for 5 minutes and she went bonkers.
And, he finally gets some quality time with her and he's like, you know, is it something that you heard? Is it something that you opened? You know, is it something you saw? And then she's like, starts freaking out in her way. And, you know, so he's like, it's like charades. He guesses it's something you saw across the courtyard, you know, and then the doctor kind of busts in and he's like, you're getting your wife agitated. We can't have this. And then, you know, he basically like to subdue his web of lies. He, in a very horrific way, he pulls out like this 12-gauge needle and jams it in the husband's neck to subdue him with chemicals. And it's like, I'm going to have to, he's basically says, I'm going to have to kill you to keep everything on the hush, you know? So he kills the, I did not see that coming.
I know. What did he do with that body? Like, what was it like? Cause he did something with the body, right?
Yeah, he must have, his trusty nurse desk must have, I mean, they must have had a good working relationship, or he just was able to turn the camera off during this time and drag the body into what, the hospital incinerator, which I'm sure it, since it's a horror movie, or horror show, it has a huge incinerator to burn.
Or maybe he knows the mortician from a few episodes back and just, use up one of those short coffins.
They have a good working relationship.
working relationship. he dispatches the husband. Things are not looking good for, this is like the true horror of this is like Steven Soderbergh made a movie a few years ago called Unsane, which is kind of the same idea, is like just getting like things happening where you end up being committed into a mental institution. But you're not, you don't belong there. I mean, but that is like a really horrific situation. Like imagine being deemed insane and like locked up in a room with a straitjacket on and just like, you know, everyone's treating you like you're insane. It's like, you can't, like, how do you talk yourself out of that? Cause everyone thinks you're, you know, you're not of the right mind. You know, it's a horrifying situation. I don't like thinking about it.
I don't even think I would want to see that movie. That scares the absolute poop out of me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this episode was enough. I don't need any more.
I know.
Yeah, but the one little weak, the Achilles Hill. Achilles. Do you ever take a hike on Achilles Hill, Dale? It's beautiful. Achilles heel of this good doctor. He lets slip at some point to his mute patient that he is on heart medicine and he can't get excited. He can't get agitated or else his heart acts up and, you know, he has to pop some of those pills, which sort of shows like that's maybe why he killed his wife, because she was annoying him so much. Like he didn't want to get over agitated.
Yeah. He was going to literally keel over because of the bitch fest.
Yeah.
Maybe the wife was the reason he had to go on these meds to begin with, you know?
I don't know.
He had it bad in the past.
Maybe it was a very long engagement and he was sick of it.
Yeah. so the wife bides her time by keeping her mouth shut, keeping it silent, and, you know, waiting for the perfect moment to sort of, seize the moment. And there's a certain point where he disrobes her, because he's getting ready to give her a lobotomy. He explains to her that, you know, in order to just, you know, like lessen the stress level, he can't keep going and with her willing to speak at any moment. He doesn't know when she's going to. He's going to lobotomize her, basically.
Lobotomy time.
And, yeah. And he is like taking her straitjacket off for that to take that long walk, and she attacks him.
Yeah.
And she just starts jumping all over him, like raking his face and getting nuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he throws her aside, calls her a snake, which,
yeah, oh, wow.
To be fair, I mean, you were just going to stick a nice pick in her brain. So, but he luckily, the scene before, he had just poured all his pills out of his bottle. Because he desperately needed one pill and spilled them all over his desk, but I guess he forgot to put them back in his bottle. Because he's starting to have an attack, gets his bottle out, it's empty. he's pleading with his victim/patient.
Please, please, call desk, my pills, please. You can't speak.
Oh, yes, I can.
Just like, you know, at a certain point, she gained the ability back to talk, but she just didn't.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in her situation, is probably for the best.
Yeah. So she lets him know, yeah, and I can talk. I'm not going to help you. You're a murderer.
Oh,
and man. Then he's like, you're a murderer now, too. Which, you know, he deserved it. It's basically self-defense.
Totally deserved it.
Yeah. Total self-defense.
Couple things at this point, though. You know, she goes up into the room video monitor feed, just like Dr. Trask did at least 4 or 5 times in the episode. And she's like, you know, this is Susie, whatever. I'm in room 19. There's been a horrible accident. And then she kind of crazy laughs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and that's kind of the end, which is a bummer because I'm under the impression now that she's for real crazy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, which I think it was the Tales from the Crypt ending they wanted to do, but I feel like they didn't earn that, like, because there was nothing else that she did that you would think that she was crazy. I mean, the whole time you're just like on her side. She just can't talk, and she's being tortured. You know, I guess. You know, maybe if they had some more time, they could have done that, like put her through a little bit more hell to make her, you know, start to lose it. But
the entire time, it's just like it's just her struggle to survive against this other crazy person who murdered 2 people so far. And you're right. They didn't earn it. And it sucked because now, for all intents and purposes, there's the dead doctor inside of her cell.
Yeah.
You know, and in this situation, this does not get better for her.
Yeah, and it's like that thing, you know, she's the one in the padded room with the straitjacket on, like, you know, think the police detective's going to listen to her? Probably not.
Yeah, she's in a tough pickle. Yeah. Even, you know, this is when, you know, she could talk as sane as she wants to at this point, and it's not, you know, that's going to be just like, okay, Dr. Lecter, you know, this is exactly what an insane person would sound like, you know, you sound completely sane.
Oh, yeah, sure.
There was a
moment. You witnessed your doctor murdering someone, and you went mute. Sure.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Okay, yeah, you're putting all these things in your head together just to string something believable.
Oh, your marriage was perfect. Yeah, totally believable. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. there was an incident when she was just unlatched from her straitjacket and she began to attack the doctor, and the doctor had her strangled, and they showed her the bottom of this poor woman's feet, and they were filthy.
Oh, I missed that.
I mean, I wanted to call the public health. I wanted to, not because she was being held against her will, but because
those
her
floors
were so, yeah. And I mean, they got no grippy socks on her. She's just barefoot in this padded room.
Yeah. It just occurred to me how filthy padded rooms must be, because you can't mop in there. Like, what are you going to do? Vacuum? Yeah. But you're not going to, I mean, you got the doctors and nurses with their sneakers on tracking grime in there all day, you know? What are you going to do?
Yeah,
how do you
clean that? They're not taking their shoes off.
No.
You imagine the face grease on the walls?
Oh, God. Oh, I bet if you
can't use your arms, Chuck, you're using your forehead to help yourself get up in a padded room.
Sorry, that was good.
Man.
But hey, this is Patricia Clarkson as the main witness. She was great. I like her in everything I've seen her in.
She was wonderful in this.
She was really good. Nice understated, not like not a wacky performance. But that does bring me to my biggest complaint is this didn't have a lick of the Tales from the Crypt humor, which I think I'm growing to realize that I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what helps a lot of these stories kind of get through is some of the goofy lines and, some of the black humor. This one was just completely devoid. Like, it was just a straight, bad situation, story. Like, there was nothing goofy or, the doctor he was mean and evil, but there was nothing funny about him.
Totally. It was a bleak episode. I mean, they're all bleak, but they're dark and twisted in a way.
Yeah.
And this wasn't humorous in any way. This is a different bit of a spin on it. And I'm not sure who is to blame. I don't know if blame is the right word or to who we credit that to, but it's true. It's different.
Dale, are you pulling up the page for the next episode?
I am, actually.
Cool. I wondered if you could tell me what we're going to talk about next week.
An episode entitled Television Terror. A TV shock journalist gives an on-air of an eerie haunted house.
Oh.
Starring one, Morton Downey Jr.
Whoa.
Wow.
Holy moly.
That is perfect. Perfect casting if he's the shock journalist. Big stuntman. He is a stuntman to this day. He's been a stuntman, or the director, I apologize. The director, Charlie Piccerni.
Piccerni.
Stuntman, Demolition Man, Die Hard, Venom, F9. I mean, this dude has been around the way. He's also done some directing here and there, mostly before 1990, but he's been on the directing side of things after that as well. But yeah, stuntman through and through, this guy, and Morton Downey Jr., also some other players.
Wow. You mentioned Venom.
Some lesser players. Venom.
Is that the...
Stuntman and Venom.
Is it the 70s British snake movie? Or is there another movie named Venom?
That is the 2018 Tom Hardy Spider-Man movie.
Oh.
Venom.
Okay, never mind.
I mean, but that's a deep pull, Chuck. Sounds like a Bat and Spider movie through and through.
No, I was actually thinking, I gotta put Venom on the list because I've always wanted to see it. Yeah. Little fun fact, one of the art directors on the End of the Fucking World TV show, it's a couple who they art direct together, which is pretty amazing. But they visited us once, and she was telling us stories from the set of Venom, this like 70s movie that her ex husband or boyfriend worked on, and he also worked on Empire Strikes Back, and she had one of the snakes from Empire Strikes Back like as a pet for like many years until it attacked her.
Oh my God!
She had to give it to a zoo. Yeah. It's crazy, the connections.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, we should watch
the poor
Venom.
Snake. I mean, yeah, put it on the list. Snakes 2018's alive. Venom with Tom Hardy.
Yeah. I love Tom Hardy.
Also, a stunt guy in Torchwood, the Torchwood TV series, Miracle Day, which I'm a big fan of Torchwood.
Cool. So, so this is Morton Downey Jr., right? I don't know. I mean,
definitely.
I mean, I see the numbers. I think our audience is probably old enough to know who Morton Downey Jr. is. I probably shouldn't even know who he is, but I do. But he was a big deal in his day.
He was a big deal on, in and around Richard Bay, the Richard Bay show. Remember, like, it was Richard Bay and Morton Downey would be like back to back on syndicated talk show during the day and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably right in his like time of fame, like around 1990. I mean, that makes sense. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure we'll get into some Morton Downey goodies next week. That'll be fun.
The Morton Downey Jr. show, for most famous for. But yeah.
All right, Dale, I'm cutting this off. It was a pleasure as always. Talk to you next week, Dale.
See you next week, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Sometimes the first few years of married life, the noise, the constant yammering.
What are you suggesting? That we weren't happy? We were happy.